Campus FM presents a talk entitled The True Identity of Casarino by Dr. Simon Mercia. The talk was organized by the Malta Historical Society.
It's a great pleasure today to be with you to discuss this person, Giulia Casarino. There is identifying the facts and defying fiction, but practically what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be searching the painter's identity in history. The academic study of Maltese art history is still a young discipline in Malta. The Maltese Historical Society can be justifiably proud and, in fact, is to have contributed in recent times to introduce academic standards which have not only influenced the epistemology of local history in general, but also the history of art in particular. Indeed, the way of writing history has changed over the past decades. The Romantic Age gave history not only the role to affirm the truth, but also the burden to establish the greatness of a country. Where the ideas of such greatness were tenuous, it had to be sought, dug up in the archives, and confirmed through the use of both the written material available as well as the visual arts. Painting and architecture began to assume historical relevance and had never been ascribed to them before. Until the 19th century, that is until Jacob Burckhardt and Leopold von Ranke pushed forward their theories, art history was only judged on the premise of its creations. To be a high quality art, it had to be produced by a social elite and to be consumed first and foremost by the upper classes. This did not exclude that fine art was not introduced to the lower strata of society. It was also intended to be enjoyed by the non-elite populations, but in a passive manner, by the faithful in churches or as passers-by lost in the city's urban spaces. The art reserved for the non-elite, whether it had an art in the 16th and 17th century, is often referred to as low art and is considered as equivocal for having failed in the past to attract the attention of scholars, with the result that the name of the artist, more often than not, was lost. In Malta, the 19th century nationalistic spirit caused a number of paintings by unknown authors to be attributed to important European artists who were contemporaries of the painter in question. A number of paintings were attributed either in writing or by word of mouth to Antonello da Messina, for example, interest in whom is once again being rekindled, particularly after this year's exhibition at the Quirinale in Rome. He is being rated now among the great artists of the Renaissance period. Other paintings were attributed to Guido Reni or Leone Spada. In the artistic vision of the early 20th century, they represented par excellence artists of the Manierist and the early Baroque period. Fortunately, the approach to the study of visual art, and in particular that of painting, is nowadays changing. It is being influenced by recently developed studies and involves what is termed a visual hermeneutic. This means that a number of painters who which encompasses theories of semiotics, deconstruction, or psychoanalysis. This means that a number of painters who up to some years ago were classified with great artists have received an update in their index classification. On the other hand, painters such as, for example, Guido Reni and the 17th century Bolognese Leone Spada have in recent times experienced a decline in importance, whilst others such as Botticelli and more recently Caravaggio had their artistic prestige enhanced. In my opinion, with less amount of passion and a different approach, such a classification could assist local researchers and art lovers to to reassess and give a much more balanced view on past evaluations regarding the authorship of a number of unknown paintings. In fact, in cases when local paintings by unknown painters were attributed to Antonello da Messina, his popularity and importance was not as great as it is today. He was considered an average painter, as was Leone Spada. The painting of Saint Sebastian being cared by a pious woman, a Pala d'Altara at Saint John's Cathedral, and the painting of Saint Mauro healing a young boy was also attributed to Spada. The attribution of these paintings to Spada was made after a local research was carried out to identify these works, as well as to link them to important artists, starting out from the fact that Spada was in Malta during the period of the consumed execution of these paintings. Such an attribution did not take into consideration the technique behind the drawings or painting. John A. Cowkey can be considered one of the earliest local art connoisseurs who began to question the authorship of a number of paintings. His position as curator of the Museum of Fine Arts and as one of the leading Maltese art collectors was in a privileged position regarding the history and the study of Maltese Baroque art. In 1964, Malta achieved independence, and if there was any need to continue to affirm a nationalistic belief so strong in the previous decades to make Malta a nation at par, if not artistically superior to their colonial masters, was now obsolete. The local Italian faction sought such a cultural superiority by associating as much as possible works of art with Italian authorship, in particular great Italian artists. On their part, the Anglo-Maltese sought to reclaim similar religions to the so-called British race. At least, according to one opinion, both the Maltese and the British descended from the Phoenicians. The granting of independence partially calmed local waters, permitting local art lovers, in my opinion, to indulge in new theories which could even challenge the above acclaimed expressions of cultural affinity with Italy's high artistic standard. John A. Cowkey, in this sense, was one of the first to call a spade with regard to local art history. The means for this debate was the Journal of the Maltese Historical Society, which published Cowkey's learned articles, perhaps one of the most important in what concerns local art history, for which he sought to dismantle past myths. While this paper is now most remembered for having introduced to the general public the surname of an unknown or lost painter, that is Cassarino, I think that his writing was also an exercise in art criticism. In this article, Cowkey dismantles the theory that the two paintings, which until then had been attributed to Spada, and I referred to before, that is, Saint Sebastian and San Mauro, were technically and in terms of quality inferior and left much to be desired. Cowkey agrees that it was very strange that whilst in Malta, Spada should have lost his design dynamism in making of a painting's composition to such an extent, that his work is no longer recognizable as his. In other words, it is strange that a painter, whilst in Malta, according to Cowkey, far macchina indietro. He was helped, obviously, Cowkey, by the new restoration works carried out on these paintings, for it revealed the authorship of these works of art. They were signed by Cassarino. Hence, these paintings began to be associated with the late many years period. After Cowkey, other studies on Cassarino paintings were carried out by Domenico Teyer, in particular, and Giovanni Bonello, whilst the painter was also mentioned, amongst others, by Mario Bahajar and Joao Bela in their respective books. However, Cowkey makes two important assertions in his articles. The first was of an artistic nature. He confessed that it was very difficult to establish an exact chronology of Cassarino's works. Secondly, he acknowledged that the subject of his article, that is Cassarino, lacked a historical corpus, to the extent that he concluded by qualifying him as an enigmatic person. The first answer to Cowkey's second query arrived in 1982. The local art historian Kutaya wrote a very important and decisive contribution regarding the life history of this enigmatic painter. This is Cassarino's article in the Milita Historica, and here is the painting of San Sebastiano, which is now attributed to Cassarino. Kutayar. Kutayar based his arguments primarily on historical facts, using archival material to pin down the enigmatic Cassarino within a historical framework. Kutayar published his views in the Sunday Times of December 19, 1982, entitled Giulio Cassarino, The Quest for a Maltese Artist of Early 17th Century. He speaks about the aspects in the life and artistic achievements of Cassarino, but he also takes into account socio-economic issues. At least, thanks to this article, for the first time, Cassarino achieved a degree of recognition. Gaskell, even Gaskell, maintains that, in case of autonomous paintings, the information that can be acquired concerns the place where the work was executed and the date, often approximately, when such paintings was finished. However, most of the research sanctions negative rather than positive results on work published in the past on the same painting or painters. In fact, Cauchy only succeeded in placing the painter Cassarino within a historical framework and established that the works in question were executed at the time of Grand Prior Fra Pedro Ureo de Camerasa. This conclusion was reached on the basis that a number of paintings attributed to Cassarino bore the coat of arms of this priest. Furthermore, a number of paintings can be said to be rather uniform in style in the Manierist tradition. The second point concerns comparative analysis. Again, I would like to borrow words from Gaskell, whom he considered that this type of study usually works on the parallel premise of comparison and exclusion, always with the aim there remains the establishment of or disqualification from the corpus of an individual artist, even if equivocation is increasingly accommodated. Thanks to Kutayar, it was at least established that a certain Giulio Cassarino existed within a particular period of Grand Prior Camerasa's lifetime. According to Kutayar's finding, the name Giulio Cassarino appears in the baptismal register of Porto Salvo in Valletta, in the baptismal act dated 10 January 1610. Unfortunately, this act does not refer to Cassarino, but to another person. But here are the correct references by Kutayar. He also reappears in the marriage act of St. Paul's Church in Valletta, where he married Salva, daughter of Maestro Domenico Bezzina. Kutayar observed that Giulio is described as forestiero and viduo. The first child born to the couple was christened Giovanna. She was baptized at St. Paul's in 1616. The couple went on to have two more sons at St. Paul's, Alfonso in 1631 and Blasio Emanuele in 1635. Domenico Tayar continued researching the dead records and found that the death of Giulio Cassarino was recorded on 15 May 1637. He died at the Sacra Infermeria and was later buried in the chapel of St. Crispin at St. Paul's Church in Valletta. In the registers of the Sacra Infermeria, Kutayar found recorded the dead on May 14, 1637, that therefore a day before, of a certain Giulio Felici, described as forzat, aged 50. This led him to conclude that there was an apparent relationship between the two dead acts, and that this was the true identity of Cassarino, and that his surname was Felice, and that Cassarino stood for his nickname or pseudonym from the surname Cassar. The suffix ino in Italian language expresses a diminutive. He then speculated that Cassarino originated from the figure of one of the paintings attributed to this Cassarino and now to be found at St. Paul's Chapel at St. Paul Bay. The painter is portrayed as a stumpy, almost dwarfish figure, thus giving the nickname of Asir, according to Kutayar shortly, which translates in Italian perhaps. And here Kutayar suggests that such a translation could have occurred by Caravaggio and the circle of his knight friends, who garbled it in an Italian fashion, turning into Cassarino, and Giulio Felice took it up willingly as his nome de battaglia. Thus, from now on, Kutayar tries to identify the parentship of Julio's wife, that is Caterina. Furthermore, Cotard discovers an important document on the life of Giulio Cassarino, a court case instigated by Cassarino's wife and her sister regarding the inheritance of a house that once belonged to the wife of their father, Domenico Bezzina. According to Cotard, this was the mother of Giulio's wife. In fact, the mother of the second, or, sorry, the wife of the second wife of Cassarino's wife, Domenico Bezzina. The letter was known, this Domenico Bezzina, as Minnellalla, who originated from Zabuch. The letter, according to Cotayar, this court case revealed the name and surname of Giulio Cassarino's parents, and thus he continues to follow Giulio Cassarino's on the traits of Giulio Felici. Moreover, Cotayar acknowledges that there is one hitch in his analysis, in that the marriage records define Giulio Cassarino as a foreigner. He maintains that the parish priest was using the word forestiero to refer to any of the contracting parties residing outside the parish boundaries. Further on in this paper, I shall be referring to this point and carrying the whole argument onto a different line of thought, because forestiero definitely meant a foreigner, not a local. Mario Bohajar's views. Mario Bohajar had very few words to say about Cassarino's life in his book Iconography of Maltese Islands. No particulars are, I'm quoting, however, known about his life and career, and recent arguments to identify him with a certain Giulio Felici, nicknamed Cassarino, are, in my opinion, inconclusive. Yet Bohajar makes a very important remark. He said that probably Cassarino was either Sicilian, domiciled in Malta, or a native Maltese. The next theory was put forward by Giovanni Bonello. In fact, Giovanni Bonello opened again this debate on the identity of the enigmatic Cassarino in an article published in the Sunday Times, dated 21st November 2004. This time, Bonello proposes different analysis of the above-mentioned arguments. Bonello considers the surname Cassarino not as uncommon as one should expect. A reference is made, for example, to another Giulio Cassarino who appeared before the Inquisition on 6 October 1579, accused of heresy. But the Giulio Cassarino does not enter the time frame of when the painting, which are attributed to Cassarino, were executed in Malta. Bonello put forward instead the candidature of a Sicilian artist from Sicily, Francesco Cassarino, as a possible individual behind these works. It is not my intention to go into a stylistic analysis of the works of Francesco Cassarino in Sicily, or to compare them to the works that have been executed in Malta, in order to identify whether they are the product of the same hand. On the other hand, works attributed to Cassarino, such as the painting of St. Paul Shipwrecked in the Chapel of St. Paul at St. Paul's Bay, together with that of St. Mary Magdalene, now at the Vigna Court Museum, preclude that the artist had been living in Malta, because in the first painting, the artist includes a portrait of Grandmaster Alof de Wignacourt, whilst the second is a copy of a painting of St. Magdalene by Michelangelo Merisi de Caravaggio, which in the early 17th century hung at the oratory of the Conventual Church of St. John. However, this last painting had been lost. Thus, until further evidence, and in the fact that there is no reference that Francesco Cassarino had ever been in Malta, I think it's very dubious to attribute these works to him. Now, what is astounding about the surname Cassarino is the fact that the image of this painter fell already into oblivion in the 17th century. At least, judging from the work of the Capuchin friar Pelagio on the life of painters and artists who had left their mark in Malta, or as he had called them, Uomini Illustri di Malta, the surname or nickname Cassarino does not figure in this list, nor did Pelagio list, for example, Giulio Felice amongst them. This means that the identity, in my opinion, of this individual had already been forgotten in the 18th century, and the compiler of these short biographical notes on artists could not come across any information on the Casarino in Malta. The reason why this artist was forgotten so quickly in Malta are not known. But as I will illustrate further on in this paper, perhaps the fact that he lived on this island for a short period of time could have had a detrimental effect in the collective memory of a nation. Giulio Casarino. The current research that I am conducting on behalf of the Department of History, involving the reconstruction of past Maltese families, has unearthed the identity of thousands of individuals whose history had been forgotten, if not lost forever. This type of microhistory has brought me face to face with personalities whose identity was considered in the past rather enigmatic. Casarino was one of them. I must admit that what I shall be saying does not differ much from what has been stated by Dominic Cutajar in 1982, with the difference that Dominic Cutajar has mistakenly fused into one the identity of two separate individuals, that of Giulio Felici and of Giulio Casarino. Despite what has been written in the past regarding the possibility that Casarino could be a diminutive of the surname Cassar, the former was an autonomous surname, constantly used as such in the 16th century documents. The only Casarino to be encountered in the birth, marriage and death record acts in a number of Maltese parishes was that of Giulio Casarino, who came to Malta just before 1614. The first time that this name appears in the local records is in the status liberi documents or court proceedings instituted by the local ecclesiastical authorities to establish that four individuals in Malta who wished to marry here were not already married abroad. Thus, the fact that Giulio Casarino was asking to get married in Malta signifies that he had established his residence in Malta sometime before 1614. Giulio Casarino put forward his claim to the ecclesiastical court, perhaps early in 1614. And unlike today, the court summons were more efficient and quicker. Giulio Casarino was asked to appear before the local ecclesiastical judges on 22nd February 1614 and to bring any witnesses he deemed appropriate to support his claims. In these court proceedings, Giulio Casarino affirmed that he hailed from the town of Avola in Sicily and was 24 years old. He also stated that he had been married to Paola de Marino, but his wife had died 5 years back. He also presented witnesses to sustain his claim. His case was heard before the Vicar General Filippo Borch. The document do not refer to Giulio Casarino's testimony, but contain the testimony of his two witnesses. The first witness was Fra Lucio de Candia from the town of Platea, Italy. He confirms before the Vicar General that he, Lucio, had known Casarino for the last 5 years and that Casarino's wife had died in Avola in Sicily, but he fails to mention her name, and that tal morte e fama pubblica e notoria in piazza e per tutto. That was the ecclesiastical court concerned of, that he was a widow and not a person seeking to have a wife at every port. He finished his deposition by signing his attestation. The second witness was Vincenzo Dito from Rose, who also confirmed the death of Casarino's wife. He seems to have been better acquainted with Casarino, as unlike the previous witness, he also furnished the tribunal with the name of Casarino's first wife, that is Paola. He signed by making the sign of the cross, the second witness. The Vicar General, Filippo Borch, after hearing the testimonies of these two witnesses, believed Giulio Casarino's claim that his wife, first wife Paola de Marino, had died, and as the text states, in the name of the church, he conceded the license, licentia concedemus, so that Giulio Casarino could remarry in Malta. The Vicar General's degree was issued at the Episcopal Curia in Valletta on 22nd February 1614. The fact that Giulio Casarino asked a hospitaller knight and a rodeo to take the witness stand in his favor indicates that Giulio had a close relationship with the Knight of St. John. This strengthened the possibility that Giulio could be the painter behind the works executed in Malta during this period and attributed to Cassarino. One has to remember that most of the status liberi concerned sailors, and they usually had other mariners, Maltese or foreigners, to stand by their side. Whenever a knight hospitaller was asked to take the witness stand, the choice signified that the plaintiff worked at close quarters with the knights, often as a skilled craftsman. The fact that Giulio Cassarino was a craftsman is proven by the marriage records. He married Silvia or Salvia Bezzina, daughter of Domenico and Caterina, at St. Paul's Church, Valletta, on 6 April 1614. The marriage act also indicated that Giulio was not Maltese, but it failed to note his country of origin. Instead, the parish priest preferred to indicate him as forestiero, that is, a foreigner. Here I would like to strongly reiterate that the word forestiero was used during this period for individuals who hailed outside Malta, from outside Malta. Internal mobility did not automatically earn the person marrying outside his parish confines the title of forestiero. At both parishes in Valletta, that is St. Dominic and St. Paul, there are recorded marriages whose one, if not both partners, were not from Valletta, but hailed from the surrounding villages, and none of these individuals had ever been qualified as forestieri by the parish priest, or earned a similar sobriquet title in their marriage act. Internal mobility was so frequent that a number of cases were discovered where couples from Zabuch and Rabat, for example, baptized their babies twice. One baptism took place in Zabuch or Rabat, and the other in one of the Valletta parishes. Therefore, they were baptizing their babies twice to keep the contact between both areas. And you'll find them, it's not a ceremony, but baptism taking place. The bride, Salva or Silvia Bezzina, was only recorded in the acts as daughter of Domenico. Thanks to the reconstruction of families, it can now be established that she was daughter of Caterina, and not Giovanna, as previously assumed. In fact, the couple, Domenico Bezzina and Caterina, had the following children at Rabat. They were from Rabat. Clementia, 1589, Angelo, 1592, Angela, 1593, Paulino, 1600, Silvia, 1601, and Blasio, 1604. Giacobina, finally the last girl, 1606. Thus, Salvia, or Silvia, as she was often referred to in the documents, was from Rabat and was born on 26 August 1601. The fact that some of Cassarino's works of art have ended up in Rabat at the Wynyacourt Museum or in the Chapel of St. Paul's, also with the connection with this place at St. Paul's Bay, is attributed to the fact that originally the Wynyacourt Museum was the convent for the Hospitaller Chaplains of Obedience, and the above mentioned St. Paul's Chapel also belonged to the former. However, before this new evidence, one is prone to ask the question whether there is any connection between the fact that the wife of Cassarino was from Rabat and that the works attributed to Cassarino ended up there. More important to our study is the death of Salva's mother in 1608, which seems to have conditioned her father to change residence to St. Paul's Parish, Valletta. The Rabat Acts give the profession of Salvia's father as that of a maestro. He must have been some form of craftsman, and the development of a new city could have offered an economic inducement. At the time, Valletta offered plenty of work to talented maestri. In other words, her father married his young daughter Salva, who in 1614 was only 13 years old, to another craftsman, 24 years old. Social boundaries were not being transgressed. Salvia's father appeared to have been from Zabuch originally. As already explained on his first marriage to Caterina, which occurred before 1589, the couple took up residence in Rabat. After the death of his wife, Domenico Bezzina married an opulent woman, Giovanna Agius, daughter of Paolo and Agata, and widow of Simone Aquilina. The couple set up home in Valletta. However, whilst on her deathbed, his wife Giovanna was transported to the Zabuch, where she died on 21st November 1616. After the death of his second wife, Domenico remarries for the third time to another lady, who is known as Caterina. Therefore, his first wife was Caterina, and also his third wife was Caterina. He passed away, Domenico, at Zabuch on 27 January 1631. Ironically, the parish priest recorded Domenico Bezzina's demise by also writing down his nickname. Quite strange, because rarely nicknames are given in edicts at Zabuch, which was a rare occurrence in Zabuch, to have the deceased registered by both the surname and nickname, which in this case, it was said, Mennilalla, not Mennilalla, Mennilalla. Therefore, he was quite a character. The discovery of Julius Cassarino's status libero made it also possible to trace his family back to the town of Avola in Sicily. At Avola, Cassarino was born to a maestro, Mariano Cassarino, and Antonina Bambana. This is Giulio Cassarino's act of marriage at St. Paul's Parish, Valletta, the birth of his first child, second child, and third child, 1635. And this is the dead act of Giulio Cassarino, 15 May, 1637. And here is the act of Giulio Cassarino, 1588. He was their second child, born on 3rd January 1588, and baptized by the parish priest of Avola, Antonino Lorito. His proper name was Giulio Giovanni Giulio. The acts of this parish still maintained the old practice used prior to the liturgical reforms of the Council of Trent, and godparent was described as the person who had held the baby at the sacred font, lo tenni allo sacro fonte. His godparent was Giuseppe de Blanca. Also present for the ceremony was Monna or Mamma, or I think the Mammana or midwife, di Mariano. The parish priest gave also the birth of Francesco, which is this one, presumably the eldest offspring of the couple, who was born in 1583. In 1591, Mario was born. That is the fourth son. Whilst Antonino was born in 1599. As you can see, there are a number of gaps, which definitely represent missing children. Perhaps they died at labor. In Sicily, Giulio Cassarino married Paola Masa, who was also born at Avola on 13 February 1594, to Masi. There's definitely a mistake in the birth act, 1594, before, to Masi Marino and Vincenza di Costanzo. From the acts of the main parish church of Avola, it can be established that Marino and Masi Vincenza di Costanzo had Margherita Beatrice, 1585, Filippo Giacomo Giuseppe, 1581, Corrado and Francesco twins, born 1581. Unfortunately, the archives of the main parish church of Avola do not conserve many documents before 1610, except for extracts from the baptismal registers. In fact, the above family reconstruction is definitely incomplete. There are missing children who have not been traced, since many acts have been lost. Moreover, despite the fact that the first wife of Giulio Cassarino was from Avola, and presumably the marriage was contracted, as was the praxis at the time, in the parish of the bride, such a marriage act is missing. The same holds also for the registration of the death of his wife. Whatever the case, the death of his wife Paola prompted Giulio to emigrate to Malta, where he set up a new life. Once married, Giulio Cassarino settled down in the parish of St. Paul's in Valletta, where he had his firstborn Giovanna on 6 November 1616. On the 18th of July 1617, Cassarino was appointed a familiares, or member of the household of the Grand Master Alof de Wignacourt. It was a prestigious title for those days, in particular for a lower class member who was given access to the corridors of power of the Ancien Regime's government system. The bull does not explain why Giulio Cassarino was appointed member of the household, But one is tempted to explain that such an appointment by Grand Master Vignacourt came as a recognition of Cassarino's artistic merits. There is a hiatus in the records of about 14 years. Nothing is known about this period and whether he was still in Malta or returned back to Sicily. He is definitely again on the island on 1631, at least from the records. In that year, his wife Sylvia, together with her eldest Clemencia, opened a court case against Gio Paolo Agius, who was the executor of Giovanna Abella's will, and second wife, Giovanna Abella was second wife of Domenico Bezzina, that is Sylvia and Clemencia's father. In her will, Giovanna Abella left Clemencia and Sylvia, amongst other things, a house in Valletta, which practically was the biggest chunk of the inheritance went to them. From this case, we learned that Giulio Cassarino at this time was living next to the slave prison in Valletta. In fact, Cassarino lived his last years in the house of his father-in-law, Domenico Bezzina. Bezzina's residence was situated sotto le prigioni degli schiavi. In other words, it was in the area of Valletta known as l'Arcipelago, at the lower end of St. Ursula Street. Furthermore, this court case reveals that Giulio Cassarino had, in the meantime, enhanced his social status, as he is now called Magister. And here we have the first page of the court case. During this period, the couple had their next offspring. The records of St. Paul's Parish Church record the birth of Alfonso, who was born on 5th October 1631. The third and last offspring was Blasio Emanuele, born on 24 January 1635. The 15 years gap in the records raises the question of what had happened to this family. In those days, it was not the norm for a couple to leave such big gaps between one offspring and the next. Methods of birth control were not in vogue, and one seriously doubts whether Giulio Cassarino and his wife ever thought of it. Moreover, now that the reconstruction of families has incorporated all the local towns, including Rabat Imdina, together with Valletta, Birgu, Bormla, and Senglia, one can also check whether possibly Giulio Cassarino took up residence in one of these urban centers. However, his name does not appear in the birth records of any of these parishes. It follows that the natural question to ask is whether the family went abroad for a short period or whether they went to live in one of the rural villages. And one here has to exclude Tarshin, Bir Miftuh, Nashar, and Ormi, and Zabuch, whose population has also been reconstructed, or else he went to live in Gozo. The choice of marriage witnesses for Giulio Cassarino's marriage shows once again that the groom and the brides were well placed in Valletta society of their time. They had two witnesses who were described as maestri, Maestro Giovan Paolo di Lucia and Maestro Filippo Varcana. The third witness was Vincenzo Violubre. Judging from the surname of these individuals, one can rightly conclude that they were foreigners living in Malta, presumably working in different tasks that the building of a city entailed at the time. The engagement of Maestri for family celebrations continued with the baptisms of their three registered children. A certain Maestro Gaspar Bucurgino was the godparent of his first baby. His second child had as godparent the, and I quote, il molto illustrissimo padre Don Emanuele d'Angulo. The baby was also named after this person, that is Emanuele. The last born had as godparent the knight of St. John, il molto illustrissimo Comenio fra Alfonso Castellane San Pietro and the signora Caterina di Cudu. The death records of St. Paul's Parish Church, Valletta, give the date of Giulio Cassarino de Miss. He died in Valletta on 15 May 1637. What is of interest is the fact that his wife then remarried Maestro Simone Mancuso at St. Paul's Parish Church a year after his death. A year after the death of her husband, that is, on 29 August 1638. The second marriage reveals some interesting points regarding social habits existing in Malta during this period. In the second marriage, the wife was recorded as Salva, Cesarino, not Cassarino, Cesarino. It was normal in those days that widows were registered by the surname of their deceased husband, rather than by their maiden surname. What is interesting is that the surname given Cesarino shows that the local priest was considering the surname to be exogenous, and in no way linked, as it has sometimes been perceived in Malta, to endogenous Cassar surname. The second point concerned the titles given to her second husband, Simone Mancuso. In the Acts at St. Paul's Church, he is identified sometimes as Signore and sometimes as Maestro. This shows that he was not just a simple craftsman, but also a highly skilled artist. This strengthens the claim made above that Giulio Cassarino was a painter. Silvia Bezzina's marriage to Giulio Cassarino had improved her social status. A new position was acquired in life due to the status of her husband. Therefore, on the death of Giulio, she could only marry an individual who was at the same level as her deceased husband. In fact, Simone Mancuso fully qualified to be Silvia's husband. He was a widower, because the tendency for widows was to marry widowers, and therefore of the same status. And therefore of the same status as Silvia. And he also had the same social standing, that is, being maestro. It was not an honor for Silvia to marry someone beneath her. Finally, the surname Mancuso indicates that Simone, too, was a foreigner, and Silvia or Salvia was marrying once again somebody like her late husband, who hailed from abroad. This was quite a common practice during the early 17th century. Giulio Cassarino was not the sole individual to be found in the local records carrying such a surname after 1636. Two other individuals have been found called Cassarino. The first one was Enrico Cassarin. His name is encountered in the Acts in connection with the marriage of his daughter Maria. She married at Senglia on 14 January 1657. The Virgo resident Giobatta Santaghe. The second, Cassarino, is Raffaele. He was married to Domenica, and the couple had a baby at Senglia on 1st November 1662. I have not come across any evidence of kinship between Raffaele and Giulio Cassarino. On the other hand, only one of his three children is known to have married so far. She is the firstborn, Giovanna, who married the Birgu resident Salvo Calleia at St. Paul's Parish Church on 11 January 1636. The above information fits in perfectly with the date of the execution of the paintings attributed to Cassarino. It has to be stated that the exact date of arrival of Cassarino in Malta is not yet known. Fra Lucio de Candia denied witness and that he knew Cassarino for the last 5 years, failed to state whether he knew him at Avolo or during Cassarino's stay in Malta. Did Giulio Cassarino leave Avola for Malta exactly after his wife's death? If it were so, it would mean that he arrived in Malta around the year 1608-1609, that is, when Caravaggio was here, coinciding with Caravaggio's departure from Malta. However, it is very unusual for a foreigner to ask for his stati libero a number of years after he settles down in Malta or in the country. What is certain is the fact that Cassarino was in Malta after 1614 and was residing in Valletta, at least until 1616. The painting attributed to this artist, the one in St. Paul's Chapel, was executed sometimes after 1617, making him its possible author. The painting attributed to Cassarino has an anagram, GNFDC, with the letters N and F composed and attached to each other. Cotaillard tried to explain it as Giulio Nato Felice detto Cassarino. However, while the first letter G supports the claim that the painter was Giulio and not Francesco, as has been recently claimed, here are other hypotheses which can propose C can also be taken for Cassarino, but the letter D could be taken for Davola. During this period, the town of Davola was always called Davola, one word, and written as one word. Fra Pedro Urreo de Camerasa's commission. This study can help us reassess a number of works that until now have been attributed to Cassarino. In fact, most of the paintings attributed to Giulio Cassarino were believed to have been executed during the time Fra Pietro Orreo de Camarasa was Grand Prior of the Conventual Church of St. John. The fact that a number of the paintings carried the coat of arms of the said Grand Prior led many to conclude that these paintings could be the work of the same hand. The original idea was that Cassarino's period of activity in Malta extended from 1601, the year that Fra Pietro Orreo Camarasa was selected Grand Prior, until 1624, when Cassarino died. When Camarasa died. Thus, while it is possible that Camarasa engaged Giulio Cassarino, the first commission should have been given either in 1613 or 1614, provided that the painter had not visited the island before, though such a visit seems to be highly improbable. Furthermore, the biographical notes on Cassarino, as they emerge from the current documents, seems to exclude an enormous output of paintings, in the sense that most probably Cassarino's activity during Camarasa period would be between 1613 up to 1620, for Cassarino seems to have been absent from the island for about 10 years, namely between 1620 and 1631. By the time the surname Cassarino reappears in the act in 1631, his presumed painting Camarasa had already been dead for about 7 years. Furthermore, this biographical study seems also to exclude any change in the artist's pictorial talents. It is very difficult to believe that Cassarino was at first a late manierist painter and then, after coming into contact with Caravaggio, changed his style to become one of the earliest forerunners of Caravaggio's technique in Malta. At least the current documents point to a situation where the artist was in Malta some years after Caravaggio. Caravaggio was in Malta between 1607 and 1608. The idea that he may have been one of Caravaggio's assistants while the master was in Malta becomes a very remote hypothesis. On the other hand, judging from the two other works signed by Cassarino, there is no doubt that the great master's work influenced him. The problem is where and when he was influenced by Caravaggio's style, in Sicily or in Malta. Caravaggio had left his mark in Sicily. In fact, he worked in Syracuse after reaching Malta. On the other hand, the town of Avola is not so distant from Syracuse, and judging from one of his works, which I shall be explaining further on, he must have got his first introduction in Sicily. Whatever the case, there should be no doubt that once the painter was introduced to Caravaggio's works, as affirmed by Cauchi, affascinato dal nuovo stile al grande Lombardo, tenta di cambiare indirizzo, subendo l'influsso del Merisi. Spesso però il nostro pittore, fraintendo lo spirito del forte innovatore, arriva solo a un caravaggismo esteriore. In his article, Cauchi made some strong and valid considerations judging from the number of works attributed to this artist and from the two paintings identified as being of Cassarino's. He said that with great probability egli trascorse gran parte della sua vita a Malta, giudicando dal numero abbastanza vasto delle opere che egli possono attribuire. Cauchi makes the second important consideration, che il nostro pittore fosse o siciliano oppure maltese educate in Sicilia, influenzato da opere esistenti in quell'isola. This declaration shows the high qualities possessed by Cauchi, who, despite the fact that he lacked historical references, he made a valid geographical deduction about the painter's country of origin. One of the first works, therefore, to be executed by Cassarino, if not the first one, was the main pala d'altare for the old parish church of Zeytun, this one. There is general understanding among our critics that this painting is the work of Cassarino. The commission of this painting came as a consequence of the events of 1614, when on 6 July a Turkish armada of 60 ships, made up of 6,000 men, entered the bays of Wittelein and St. Thomas Bay, and ravaged the surrounding area. The parish church of Zeytun, popularly known as St. Gilgore, was badly affected. It was attacked by the invaders, ransacked and badly damaged, creating the need for new artifacts to redecorate this church, including a new pala d'altare showing the martyrdom of St. Catherine. By the following year, the church had been fully restored and the painting was well in place. It was recorded that on visiting the church in 1516 and viewing the painting, Bishop Cagliari said that it was recente reconstructa in duas regiones superiorem vide licet et inferiorem operam fornicata ornata. It had been recently built in two overlaying structures the inferior and the superior structure held by arches. Calieres even had some words to describe the new painting, pointing out that it was a new painting on canvas of great value. This painting has the coat of arms of the Hospitaller Knight de Castellet, who was the head of the Grand Master's cavalry, and presumably could be the real one of the benefactors of this painting. However, according to an inscription on the left of the painting, which recorded for posterity that it was finished in 1614, and therefore it's possible, judging from the Stato Libero of Cassarino, says that it was an ex voto by Filippo de Vignacourt, the Grand Master's brother. These are very important remarks. The date of execution falls within the period when Giulio Cassarino arrived in Malta, which, judging from the Status Libro, occurred just before the attack by the Turkish Armada in 1614. The fact that he was commissioned to paint the portrait by either the brother of the Grand Master or by the head of the cavalry, the Castellet, means that the local foreign elite appreciated his talents. His successful rendition of the work could have been the passport that would engage Cassarino and other important commissions, which can be linked to either Grand Master Vignacourt or to other important knights of the order, in particular Prior Camerasa. According to both Buhagen and Cauchi, the Zaytun painting reminds the viewer of the painting by Caravaggio, The Martyrdom of St. Lucy in Syracuse. If the Zaytun painting is Cassarino's, it affirms that the painter, prior to his arrival in Malta, had already been exposed to Caravaggio's work in Syracuse. It should be said that this painting was originally believed to be of Spada's work, that is, of Cassarino. In itself, this reflection points to a Sicilian identity for this author. The painting depicts the aftermath of St. Catherine's decapitation. The saint is shown with her head cut off, the executioner is returning his sword to its sheath. This portrays a royal martyrdom, as severing the head with just one thrust of the sword was reserved solely for persons of noble birth, to lessen the agonizing pain associated with such a barbaric killing. This contrasts with the depiction of St. John the Baptist by Caravaggio. The murder of the saint has nothing noble. His head is being severed by a small knife. He is shown just after his throat has been slit, a barbaric killing that was not reserved for the noble lady, Catherine. The lifeless head of St. Catherine takes up the foreground of the painting. In the background, a group of spectators shown in agitated postures while witnessing the murder. Among this group, the figure of a knight standing out in full armor. But unlike his companions, he is an impartial witness to the murder and expresses no agitating psychological passion. He seems to have been in possession of the benefit of hindsight, which expresses his calm reaction. He knew that he was not watching a normal murder, but the making of a new saint for the church. Father Joabella identifies this knight as Fra Philippus and the donor of the painting. St. Paul's Chapel, Pala d'Artare. The building of a new chapel in honor of St. Paul in the area reputed to have been the place where the ship that was carrying St. Paul to Rome foundered, prompted the need to decorate it internally. The new chapel replaced an older one, which held as one of its past rectors Leonardo Bela, a Maltese prelate who made headway in Rome. This new place of worship was erected some distance away from the older one, and the intervention of Grand Master Luke de Vignacourt confirms his interest in becoming patron of the shrine linked to the cult of St. Paul. In fact, this chapel ceased to fall under the control of the diocesan church. Instead, it became part of the property administered by the new monastery of the conventual chaplains of Rabat. The convent was built over a grotto reputed in Malta to have been the place where the saint was imprisoned. Thus, the building of this chapel falls practically within the same period that Giulio Cassarino decided to set up residence in Malta. The chapel was completed in 1615, and the commissioning and executioning of the painting came about this time. The chapel underwent further changes, but the most dramatic event occurred during the Second World War, when it was hit by enemy action, and the main Pala d'Artale was extensively damaged. Here is a photo of the damaged Pala d'Artale. The painting was restored, but during restoration, the painting lost much of its former splendor. Cupola d'Altale is made up of three paintings. The middle one shows St. Paul being beaten by a viper. This one, the one on the left, represents the encounter of the Maltese with the apostle, and the one on the right, the healing of the father of St. Pibulus by St. Paul. Scholars agree that this main Pala d'Altale also contains a self-portrait of the painter amongst the crowd. That includes then the then grandmaster of the Vigna court, welcoming St. Paul on this island. The painter is shown as a man of small stature at the end of the painting, at the far left side of the painting, looking at us, that is on, therefore on the foreground, practically, of the painting. Cauchy noted that the use of chiaroscuro on the painting, the manner in which the light hits the faces of the protagonist in these three paintings, links the work to Saint Mauro, which is at the Church of Lis, and this painting is signed by Cassarino. It was also due to Cassarino's effective way in the use of chiaroscuro and how he painted the pieghe nei panneggi, for example, of these two paintings that make Cauchy believes and ask whether Cassarino could have been one of Caravaggio's assistants. On stylistic merits, Cauchy links this painting to the one at Zeitoun. A number of figures in Cassarino's painting can be taxonomically described. They are accurate pictorial descriptions of individuals who lived in his time. Their clothing and personal grooming are realistically represented. With regard to Cassarino's painting, this aspect should take precedence over any allusion or allegory. And now I would like to show you another painting which I found at the Curia. And if one looks at it closely, this figure here, and that's why I have my queries whether this is Cassarino, because practically those two faces are very similar. Now, I'm not going to enter in this composition, because that's not my field, but this is another painting. Now it's at the Curia, before it was at Tal Pietà, which is being attributed to Cassarino. And if you look at this one, practically we have, excuse me for my type of photo, the same types of rigid figures. But this I will leave to the art historians now to analyze and work on. The Vigna Court Museum paintings. The Vigna Court currently holds a number of paintings that appear to have been the work of Cassarino, two paintings to be exact. The derivation of these two paintings is unknown, but it would appear that they always belonged to this place from the time it was a monastery for the conventual chaplains. These paintings are now the property of the Vigna Court Museum and include the representation of a penitent Mary Magdalene. This painting is considered to be a copy of a painting by Caravaggio. There are also two portraits of Grandmaster Vignacourt. Cauchy considers the penitent Magdalene to be in the style of Caravaggio's Saint Jerome, but it could also be a copy of a lost painting by the same famous painter. According to Cauchy, this painting reflects and is influenced by the painting of the Resurrection of Saint Lazarus. And I thought to find, I hope to have included this one, Saint Lazarus. Now in the Museum of Messina. If this is true, and it is not just an unsigned copy of a lost work of Caravaggio, this could be another indication that the painter's contact with Caravaggio occurred in Sicily. In Italy, there are at least two other paintings similar to the Vigna Court Magdalene, besides other copies in Malta of the same painting. Cauchy considers the fact that there are so many copies as an indication that perhaps it is indeed a copy of a long-lost painting by Caravaggio. Cauchy identified two other paintings depicting the reigning grandmaster of the time along the Vigna Court. These two paintings are also considered to be after Caravaggio and perhaps could also be copies of a lost work of this great Italian artist. What is of interest to the study is the date of these paintings. The first painting, which is currently at the Vigna Court Museum, Rabart, has an inscription which states that the grandmaster was 70 years old and is dated 1617. Okay. The portrait shows the grandmaster in a seated position and carries the word Etate Sue 70. Thus, if this painting is by Cassarino, the artist was in Malta in that year. Incidentally, the date of the execution of this painting falls on the same year when Cassarino was appointed the familiares of the grandmaster. Of great chronological interest is the second painting of the same grandmaster, and which is preserved in the Fine Art Museum in Valletta. This one. Cauchy dates this painting at around 1620. The portrait of the figure showing a standing grandmaster and has the wording etate suis 70. If it can be proven that this painting is the work of Castarino, this would mean that despite the hiatus in the baptismal records, which seems to indicate a rather short abrupt departure from Malta, he was still on the island in 1620. Cauchy then has some queries, has some misgivings about the 1617 portrait, due to the fact that la fattura è alquanto più dura di quanto non sia nelle altre opere del maestro pittore. In other words, the painting has a more rigid pose than in the other paintings attributed to this artist. And this brings Cauchy to put the reader into caution, or to be on his guard, when he said that bisognerebbe però procedere lentamente prima di pronunciare l'ardua sentenza. Now, one or two Castarinos. Giovanni Bonello's article on the existence of one or two Castarinos painters, article on the existence of one or two Castarinos painters with his sage question. When is the conclusive archival document that turning up will dispel all lingering doubts? I hope that this paper provided proof on the existence of the local Castarino. Bonello had posed a second question. Were there one or two Castarino painters? The building of the family history of Giulio Castarino revealed the existence of an older brother called Francesco. Is there a relationship between Francesco Castarino, brother of Giulio, and the painter Francesco Castarino discussed by Bonello? Judging from the date of birth of Giulio Castarino and the date of execution of the Sicily painting, any connections between the two paintings is possible. After this essay, I presume that there should now be a general consensus regarding the existing of two different Castarinos. I am sure that a specialized study shows that these two painters embody different cognitive processes. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a painting of Francesco Castarino on the internet, and it's very difficult to find. There is at least one painting by Francesco Castarino. This is a signed painting featuring the Immaculate Conception with Saint Bartholomew and the Blessed Guglielmo of Sicily. This painting is in the Church of Saint Bartholomew of Sicily, a small village near Ragusa. Francesco Castarino painted this following the deposition of the will of Don Giuseppe Micciche, a nobleman of Sicily. Now, the question here is a comparison between the Maltese painting, which can now be signed by Castarino, and the one of Francesco show, can bring out if there is any encoded cultural significance or whether they hide any particular discrete cognitive process. One has to be very cautious not to apply the wrong contingent criteria, as this could bring a negative critical appraisal. Synodocial qualities existing between these two paintings can therefore be established, and this can, in my opinion, further help to clarify any misconceptions regarding the identity of these two authors. Thank you very much.
You have just listened to a talk by Dr. Simon Machia entitled The True Identity of Castarino. The talk was organized by the Malta Historical Society.